Al-Bashir, your source of Islamic literature presents The Lives of the Prophets, Part 1.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
قالوا أجئتنا لتافكنا عن آلهتنا فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين.
They said, "Have you come to turn us away from our gods? Then bring us that which you threaten us if you are one of the truthful." Now they challenged him. They told him, "Bring us the punishment if you are telling the truth." And they were arrogant and proud because of their strength and their power and their so-called civilization. By the way, we're using this word civilization just because it's commonly used, but we're not using it in the positive sense of the word, because always this word is used, or most of the time it's used to refer to jahiliyyah. It is used to refer to ignorance. Nations that disbelieved in Allah. And the only reason why they are looked up at is because of their materialistic achievements. They thought that this civilization of theirs, and this wealth of theirs, and this strength will save them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see that trait, we see that trend, similar in all strong and powerful civilizations that disbelieve in Allah. The great empire, Great Britain, when they constructed a ship that was the biggest and the most powerful in the world, they thought that they can conquer the sea. And they named it the Titanic. Look at the name they chose, the Titanic. And they thought that they can challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whenever you try to challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will happen? This Titanic, this ship that is supposed to conquer the sea and is supposed to be the most powerful and greatest achievement of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sank it on its first trip. And then the next civilization and powerful nation of the world, the United States, when they were building their spacecraft that will challenge the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they called it the Challenger, to challenge the strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew it up. But nobody learns the lessons. And the people of Ad thought that their power and strength can avail them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for Ad, they were arrogant in the land without right, and they said, "Who is mightier than us in strength? Who is stronger than us? Who are you threatening us with? Hud? Who are you threatening us with? You say that Allah can do anything against us? Do whatever you want. Man ashaddu minna quwwa? Who is more powerful than us?" Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Awalam yaraw anna Allah alladhi khalaqahum huwa ashaddu minhum quwwa?" See they not that Allah who created them was mightier in strength than them? And they used to deny our ayat. Don't they realize, don't they understand that Allah, the one who created them, is mightier than them? Allah is the one who created them. Whatever strength they had is created by Allah. So Hud, at that point, made dua. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hud is saying,
قَالَ رَبِّ انصُرْنِي بِمَا كَذَّبُونَ.
He said, "Oh my Lord, help me because they denied me." And the dua of Hud reached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Qala amma qaleelin layusbihunna nadimin." And Allah said, "In a little while, they are sure to be regretful." In a little while, they will be regretful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was taking the people of Ad through a test to remind them. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them chances. So Allah did not bring the punishment at once. Allah has made them go through a period of drought to remind them with their weakness as human beings, so that they may turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and repentance. So they went through a period of drought. They were receiving no rain. Their crops were dry, and they were going through this difficult time. But that wasn't sufficient to turn their attention to the truth and to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So now Hud made the dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua. Clouds started approaching in the horizon. Dark clouds. And there is a story that is mentioned that they went to Al-Kaaba to ask Allah for rain. And then they hear the voice that told them, choose whichever cloud you want, the red or the white or the black. They said, we want the black cloud. Anyway, so these clouds were approaching their nation. And they saw these clouds in the horizon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا.
Then when they saw it as dense cloud coming towards their valleys, they said, this is a cloud bringing us rain. Because this was very dark, and a dark cloud means what? A lot of rain. So they were looking forward and happy and pleased that we are finally receiving rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ رِيحٌ فِيهَا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ.
Nay, but it is a torment which you were asking for. This is the torment you were asking for, a wind wherein is a painful torment. تُدَمِّرُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ بِأَمْرِ رَبِّهَا. Destroying everything by the command of its Lord. They thought it was rain. It was the punishment of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would see clouds approaching Medina, his face would change. You can see that he's worried. And Aisha would notice that. And she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, oh Rasulullah, when people see the clouds, they're happy. Especially in Arabia, because they don't receive a lot of rain. When people see the clouds coming, they're happy. They're very pleased. So Aisha said, when people see the clouds approaching, they're happy. But you look anxious. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because a nation before us saw these clouds and thought that they had mercy. They didn't know that it had the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the fear in his heart. And we, unfortunately, in the world today in general, are exactly like the people of Ad. Exactly. When the earthquake, you know, the earthquake that happened a few weeks ago, and we felt it here in San Diego. The next day, I watched some of the interviews they made with people. They brought this lady. This lady said it was cool. Another guy said it was fun. Somebody else said it was an adventure. Others said it was interesting. Subhanallah, Allah is sending you these as a reminder. Allah is sending you these ayat as a reminder. And you're saying that they're cool and fun and interesting and an adventure? Look at the state of the hearts of people. Exactly like the people of Ad. Because they are keeping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of the equation. And that is the situation of the people today. They only think in terms of natural phenomena and natural laws as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not exist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا فِي أَيَّامٍ نَحِسَاتٍ لِنُذِيقَهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزْيِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَخْزَى وَهُمْ لَا يُنصَرُونَ.
So we sent upon them furious wind in days of evil omen for them. رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا. Sarsar is explained as cold, severely cold, and very ringing and loud voice, and very furious. This is the wind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on them. The closest thing that we have today similar to that is what? The tornado. Because the tornado, if you have seen it, is very fast wind, and it has a very loud voice. I mean, if you saw it on TV, it has an unbelievably loud sound. And it could be very cold. في أيام النحسات, in evil omen days on them. Tornadoes, it starts as a funnel in the cloud. And then it makes a touchdown. And it starts moving. And it would stay in one place only for a few minutes. And then it would keep on moving. It doesn't stay for long in the same place. Just a few minutes and it keeps on moving. But it's leaving behind it a trail of destruction. In those few moments, in those few minutes, it destroys everything that it passes over. It just rolls over everything and destroys it. And we've seen that in a few minutes, a tornado can make a touchdown and travel for a few miles and destroy everything. This wind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on the people of Ad, Allah besieged them. So imagine a tornado coming down and besieging the whole nation, surrounding it from every side. And it did not stay there for a few minutes, but it stayed there, slamming them for 7 nights and 8 days. Imagine a tornado besieging the whole nation of Ad, surrounding them from every side. And this wind is violently turning with high speed, slamming their bodies against walls and against trees and against their homes and destroying everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them under that siege for 8 days and 7 nights. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Husuma. Husuma means continuously without giving them a break. Giving them no break, no chance to even breathe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ حُسُومًا.
And as for Ad, they were destroyed with a furious, violent wind, which Allah imposed on them for 7 nights and 8 days in succession, with persistence and giving them no break. That's the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shadidul iqab. His punishment is severe. It is serious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِنُذِيقَهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزِّي فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَخْزَى وَهُمْ لَا يُنصَرُونَ. Allah says that we might give them a taste of disgracing torment in this present world, but surely the torment of the hereafter will be more disgracing and they will never be helped. This is the punishment of this world, but the punishment of the akhirah is even more severe. What was the result? When the dust settled down and you walk in to the nation of Ad, what do you see? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَتَرَى الْقَوْمَ فِيهَا صَرْعَى كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَاوِيَةٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that you could see men lying overthrown as if they were hollow trunks of palm trees. These were very tall men. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they are like palm trees that are knocked down, upside down, lying dead. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us this question. And this would go back to what I said before. If Allah did not tell us about the people of Ad and where the people of Ad lived, we wouldn't have known. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَهَلْ تَرَى لَهُمْ مِنْ بَاقِيَةٍ.
Do you see any remnants of the people of Ad? We have remnants from the people of Fir'aun, Al-Ahram, Al-Awtad, the pyramids. We have remnants from Thamud, Diyar Thamud, the dwellings of Thamud. We have remnants from the Greek Empire. We have remnants from the Roman Empire. But from the Empire of Ad, we have nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely destroyed them because they were the most powerful. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely erased them from the face of the earth. And now it is a land called Al-Ahqaf, sand dunes. You don't even see nothing. Nobody even lives there. It's a desert now in Hadramaut, known Al-Ahqaf. It's a desert, empty. This is the nation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Iram ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد. Iram, the land of pillars, which no other land was similar to. Nothing remained. They were destroyed completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Hud.
وَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا هُودًا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَنَجَّيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ. وَتِلْكَ عَادٌ جَحَدُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَعَصَوْا رُسُلَهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ كُلِّ جَبَّارٍ عَنِيدٍ. وَأُتْبِعُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا لَعْنَةً وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا لهم ألا بعدا لعاد قوم هود.
Allah says, and when our commandment came, we saved Hud and those who believed with him by a mercy from us, and we saved them from a severe torment. Such were Ad, they rejected the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobeyed his messengers and followed the command of every proud obstinate. And they were pursued by a curse in this world, and on the day of resurrection, no doubt, verily Ad disbelieved in their Lord, so away with Ad, the people of Hud. Their wealth didn't help them. Their power didn't do them any good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely destroyed them. Destroyed them completely. And whoever follows the tracks of Ad, the same thing will happen to them. And I would like to close with this saying of Sayyidina Abu Darda. Sayyidina Abu Darda was in Damascus, the capital of the Islamic Khilafah at the time. And he saw the extravagance of the Muslim Ummah. The Muslims were so wealthy at that time. And the lifestyle of the Muslims was changing. Now they had so much wealth, so their lifestyle was changing. Abu Darda was on the strict ways that he was living on in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not change, and he did not want the people to change. So he stood up in Damascus and he said, Ya Ahla Dimashq, Ya Ahla Dimashq, Ala tastahyun, tajma'una ma la ta'kulun, wa tabnuna ma la taskunun, wa ta'maluna ma la tutilun, wa inna man kana qablakum kanu yajma'una fayu'un, wa yabnuna fayuthiqun, wa ya'maluna fayutilun. فأصبح جمعهم بورا ومساكنهم قبورا وآمالهم غرورا ألا إن عادا ملكت ما بين عدن وعمان خيلا وركبانا فمن يشتري مني ميراث عاد بدرهمين. Abu Darda said, O people of Damascus, O people of Damascus, don't you have any shame? You are gathering wealth that you will not use. And you are building palaces which you will not live in. And you are expecting to live longer than your life. And the people before you, they used to gather and use what they gathered. And they used to build, and they would build better than you. And they used to live longer than your life. But then, whatever they gathered did not do them any good. And their palaces became their graveyards. And their desires were false. And remember that the people of Ad had an army that extends from Adan up to Oman. Who will buy from me the remnants of Ad with 2 dirhams? Who's gonna buy from me the inheritance of Ad with 2 dirhams? They left nothing. This huge nation, if you would put it in the auction to sell it, it will not even fetch $1 for you. There's nothing left. So we need to remember that whatever we see around us will not do us any good. And if we disbelieve in Allah and the ayat of Allah, and disbelieve in the messenger of Allah like Ad did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will include us in severe punishment. And if we stick to the truth that we have with us now, and we keep away from the ways of the non-believers, and have our unique identity, and we are proud with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, then whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes the non-believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would save the ones who believed in him. We start with the story of Sayyidina Salih.
وَلَقَدْ كَذَّبَ أَصْحَابُ الْحِجْرِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ.
And verily the dwellers of the Hijr denied the messengers. Al-Hijr is the rocky track. They used to live in a rocky track. It's a very rocky area. Solid rock.
وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ آيَاتِنَا فَكَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ.
And we gave them our signs, but they were averse to them.
وَكَانُوا يَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا آمِنِينَ.
They used to carve out of mountains houses feeling secure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they used to carve out these houses in the mountains, palaces in the mountains, Aminin. In the tafsir of Ibn al-Jawzi, he gives a few meanings of Aminin. One of them is that they were feeling secure and safe from the punishment of Allah. The second meaning is that they were feeling secure and safe that these buildings will never be destroyed. They're carving it out of solid bedrock. Imagine you have a solid rock like this masjid and you carve into it a house. They were not building houses from bricks of stone. No, they were carving out houses in solid rock. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتُتْرَكُونَ فِي مَا هَاهُنَا آمِنِينَ. Will you be left secure in that which you have here? When you have a house carved in rock, what will destroy it? I mean, rock, solid rock. Earthquake cannot harm it. Wind cannot affect it. A hurricane, tornadoes. I mean, it's rock, solid rock. You're in the middle of a mountain. So they used to feel that they're secure from anything. Nothing can harm them. Plus, they're in high ground. So if there's any floods, it will not affect them. They have a guaranteed safety. 100% sure, as they thought. Amineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking him, do you think that you will be here safe? A human being should never feel safe as long as he's on the face of this earth. We should always be worried of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the only ones who feel secure from the planning of Allah are the losers. If you feel that you're safe, you are a loser. The mu'min is always afraid. The mu'min always has fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their Nabi Salih is telling them,
أَتُتْرَكُونَ فِي مَا هَا هُنَا آمِنِينَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونَ وَزُرُوعٍ وَنَخْلٍ طَلْعُهَا هَضِيمٍ وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ.
Will you be left secure in that which you have here, in gardens and springs and cornfields and date palms with soft spadix, and you carve houses out of mountains with great skill? They had great skill. They were very excellent architects. They were great in construction and structures of their houses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَادٍ وَبَوَّأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْ سُهُولِهَا قُصُورًا وتنحتون الجبال بيوتا فاذكروا آلاء الله ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين.
What the people of Thamud used to do is they would build, they would carve out these houses in the mountain. And then they would build palaces on the valleys. So they have palaces in the valley and they have these houses carved in the mountains. But they were corrupt. And their Nabi Salih told them, وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. Do not go about making mischief on the earth. They were very corrupt people. What was the message of Sayyidina Salih?
وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُهُ.
Oh my people, worship no god other than Allah. The same message of Ad and the same message of Nuh. And he repeated the same thing that they did. What did they also say? ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Istighfar. Every Nabi is telling his people to make istighfar. So this was the da'wah of Sayyidina Salih. What was the response? Sayyidina Salih was a young man, and he was very intelligent and strong, and he was from a noble family. He was from the high class of the society. And they were preparing him to be their leader. They were preparing him, he was a young man, and they were looking forward that one day he will assume responsibility for the people of Thamud. They had a lot of expectations in Salih. And suddenly Salih presented them with the message of Islam. So what happened?
قالوا يا صالح قد كنت فينا مرجوا قبل هذا أتنهانا أن نعبد ما يعبد آباؤنا وإننا لفي شك مما تدعونا إليه مريب.
They said, O Salih, you have been among us as a figure of good hope. We had good expectations of you. Till this, do you now forbid us the worship of what our fathers have worshipped? Subhanallah. The disease and the illness that people have is that they do not want to give up what their fathers used to worship. Taqlid. Imitation. We are willing to change. Look at the people around you. Look at, take any nation on the face of the earth, an advanced nation, Japan or the United States. Look at the difference between the United States now and the United States 100 or 200 years ago, or Japan of today and Japan of 200 years ago. Big difference. Look at the advancement in technology and science. Look at the different lifestyle. Look at the standard of living. Look at the way people think and speak and behave. Professors in math, professors in physics, experts in economics, experts in engineering, experts in medicine. They learned a lot. There's a big difference between one of them today and their forefathers 100 years ago. Big difference in everything but religion. There's a big difference in everything, but religion did not change. So this PhD in math, who's working in the most advanced lab in the world from 8 o'clock until 5, is dealing with logic and numbers. And then when he goes back home in the evening, he doesn't have a problem making sujood to an idol or worshiping a cow. When it comes to religion, shaitan is telling people, don't change. Stay on the religion, the false religion that you're doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we found our fathers following a certain religion, we're going to follow them. This is the disease and illness. But shaitan is telling them, no problem, go and advance in everything else, that's okay. Do whatever you want, that's not going to do you anything in akhirah. But in terms of religion, stay on the religion of the cow, and the religion of Buddha, and the religion of the cross. So the people of Salih, they knew Salih alayhi salam, they knew him and they knew his qualities, and they were looking ahead at giving him the responsibilities of leading their people. But when he came with Islam, they said, now we change our mind. وَإِنَّنَا لَفِي شَكٍ مِمَّا تَدْعُونَ إِلَيْهِ مُرِيبٍ. Now we are in doubts of you. First, we used to have trust in you. Now when you're Muslim, we're doubting you. And then they accused them of magic.
قَالُوا إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مِنَ الْمُسَحَّرِينَ.
They said, you are only of those bewitched.
مَا أَنْتَ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا فَأْتِ بِآيَةٍ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ.
You are but a human being like us, then bring us a sign if you are truthful. They said they wanted a sign. What sign do you want? They were given the option. Thamud, the people of Thamud were given an option that was not given to the other nations. They got to choose their miracle. Salih told them, what do you want? They said, we want you to produce, do you see this rock over here? We want you to produce out of it a living camel. This solid rock, produce for us a camel. Sayyidina Salih asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The miracle was performed. Mu'jiza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to the dead. I mean, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, What's the difference between creating from a cell or creating from dirt or creating from a rock? They're all dead things. It's not a difference, no difference for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It looks different to us. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's kun fayakun, be and it becomes. Suddenly out of this rock, and the people of Thamud are watching, a huge she-camel came out. Huge. Bigger than the regular camels. Sayyidina Saleh told them, this is the agreement. This camel that you asked for, you can drink from your water one day, but then the next day you have to allow the water for the camel. You don't touch it. You can take from the wells today, but tomorrow, the next day, it's only for the camel. You don't drink any water. If you want to drink, you can drink from the milk of the camel, but no water.
قال هذه ناقة لها شرب ولكم شرب يوم معلوم.
He said, here is a she-camel. It has a right to drink water, and you have a right to drink water each on a day known. This is the schedule. And then he told them,
وَلَا تَمَسُّوهَا بِسُوءٍ فَيَأْخُذَكُمْ عَذَابُ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ.
And don't touch it with any harm, otherwise you would be punished. So this was a sacred camel, you cannot touch it. You cannot harm it. So the camel was drinking from the well one day, and they would drink one day. But there were some conspiracies occurring. There was something brewing. There were a group of men out of the people of Thamud who were planning not only to harm the camel but to kill it. They were ordered, don't touch it with any harm. These were planning to kill the camel. How many men are these? How many do you expect? How many? Nine. Out of the whole nation of Thamud, the ones who conspired to kill the camel were nine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَكَانَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تِسْعَةُ رَهْطٍ يُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُصْلِحُونَ.
And they were in the city nine men. So the ayah is, and they were in the city nine men who made mischief in the land and would not reform. These were nine men who were corrupt. They are the ones who made the conspiracy and planned to kill the camel. It wasn't all of the people of Thamud. It was only nine. These men agreed, and these were from the leaders of Thamud. They came together and agreed, we're gonna kill the camel. So they made their move. And when they got next to the camel, they hesitated because the camel was huge. But one of them, the most evil among them, he took his sword and he hit the camel in its front legs. And that is called Aqr. So the camel fell down. And then they attacked it with their swords and killed it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
كذبت ثمود بطغواها بعث أشقاها.
Thamud denied their prophet when the most wicked man among them went forth. So out of these nine, only one dared to make the attack on the camel. إذن بعث أشقاها. The most evil one, the wicked among them, he's the one who made his attack. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فعقروها. But they killed her. And عقر is when you chop the front legs. So the camel fell down, and then they cut her into pieces.
فَعَقَرُوا النَّاقَةَ وَعَتَوْا عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِمْ وَقَالُوا يَا صَالِحُ ائْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِن كُنتَ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ.
So they killed the she-camel and insolently defied the commandment of their Lord and said, O Salih, bring about the threat if you are indeed one of the messengers of Allah. The camel is dead, bring your threat. We challenge you, we dare you to do anything. Here's the camel. You said this is the camel. This camel is sacred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting it. Look at it. It's dead. So now bring us the punishment that you promised. Not only did they do that, they went back and they made a conspiracy at night time that they will assassinate not only Saleh, but they would exterminate his whole family. They made a plan that the next step, after we kill the camel, we're going to kill Saleh and all of his family.
قالوا تقاسموا بالله لنبيتنه وأهله ثم لنقولن لوليه ما شهدنا مهلك أهله وإنا لصادقون.
They said, swear one to another by Allah that we shall make a secret night attack on him and his household, and afterwards we will surely say to his near relatives, we witness not the destruction of his household, and verily we are telling the truth. So they're planning to kill Saleh and his family, and then they're planning to lie and say that we didn't kill him, and they're going to say that we're telling the truth. Saleh came out and told his people, تَمَتَّعُوا فِي دَارِكُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامِ. You have 3 days to enjoy yourselves. ذَلِكَ وَعَدٌ غَيْرُ مَكْذُوبٌ. This is a promise that will not be belied. You have 3 days. 3 days to enjoy yourselves and that's it. You're not going to live anymore. The first day passed, nothing happened. The second day passed, nothing happened. The third day passed, nothing happened. They started joking at nighttime and saying, look at this liar. He told us 3 days, here the 3 days is over. They went to bed, amineen, secure. Early in the morning,
فأخذتهم الصيحة مصبحين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on them the awful cry in the morning of the fourth day. The exact deadline. They went to bed safe, amineen, in houses carved from solid bedrock. Nothing can destroy it. Wind cannot harm it. Earthquake will not do it any harm. A hurricane, a tornado, torrential rain, a storm, floods will not harm it. They thought they were safe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them with a sound wave. An awful cry. Very, very loud voice. That was so loud. أَخَذَتْهُمُ الرَّجْفَةِ. It caused the earth to shake. The cry, this awful cry, was so violent and powerful. It made the earth under them shake. Only nowadays are we learning the power of sound waves. And now we hear that they're trying to use, and they're thinking about ways to use sound waves as a weapon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed these people with sound. It is said that it was so violent, it shook their insides so their hearts were falling. It was so violent, no matter how strong your house is. It's like a microwave. These are waves that came in and could pass through anything, through rock, through walls. It is a sound wave. It can go through anything. It can travel through any medium that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. There's nothing that can stop it. So the sound reached and it was shaking their insides and shaking the earth, so their hearts fell down dead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَأَخَذَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ كَأَنْ لَمْ يَغْنَوْا فِيهَا أَلَا إِنَّ ثَمُودًا كَفَرُوا رَبَّهُمْ أَلَا بُعْدًا لِثَمُودٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the awful cry overtook the wrongdoers, so they lay dead prostrate in their homes as if they never lived. As if they never lived. After moments of cry, as if nobody was living in Thamud. It's a haunted, deserted area. أَلَا إِنَّ ثَمُودًا كَفَرُوا رَبَّهُمْ أَلَا بُعْدًا لِثَمُودٍ. Thamud disbelieved in their Lord, so away with Thamud. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ.
So they plotted a plot, and we planned a plan while they perceived not. When these 9 men were meeting, they were meeting in secret, whispering to each other. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're trying to hide their plan from Allah, but Allah is hearing their plan. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning, and His plan is hidden from them. Makaru makran, they planned. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also making a plan. But the plan of Allah is secret and their plan is not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to them.
فانظر كيف كان عاقبة مكرهم أنا دمرناهم وقومهم أجمعين.
Then see how the end of their plot, verily we destroyed them and their nation altogether. Let's go back. How many are the ones who made this plan? 9. And then who was the one who went ahead and made the first move? 1. 9 men are the ones who administered the execution of the camel and the plan to kill Sayyidina Salih. How come the rest of the people of Thamud were destroyed? It was only 9. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Quran. How come because of 9, the whole nation was destroyed? Because they knew about this corruption and they did not stop it. Because they were a silent majority. Because they thought that they can eat and drink and have sex and sleep and they can be secure and safe. We are safe in our houses. Nothing is going to affect us. There is no gray area. There is nothing in between. You with Hizb al-Rahman, the party of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the other side is Hizb al-Shaytan, the party of Shaytan. There's nothing in between. That is how the masses of the people are. I mean, take any nation. Let's take the US, for example. Who are the decision makers in America? President, the National Security Council, a few influential men in Congress, a few CEOs of big corporations in America, a few heads of major banks, a few of the strong Jewish lobbyists, and then a few of the professors and think tanks in major universities in the US, 200, 300, 400 people, and the rest of the people are between the aisles and the malls and the grocery stores, sitting on the benches, watching games, or on their couches, eating and drinking and sleeping.
والذين كفروا يتمتعون ويأكلون كما تأكل الأنعام والنار مثوى لهم.
They eat and drink like cattle, and hellfire is their final abode. The masses of the people, that's what they do. There's a few of al-mala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them in Quran, al-mala. We have been talking about al-mala a lot until now. Al-mala are the ones who rejected the message of Nuh. Al-mala are the ones who rejected the message of Hud. And now al-mala are the ones who rejected the message of Salih. Al-mala are the chiefs and the leaders. The rest of the people, they are after dunya, running after dunya, running after this world. But they are not secure. If you do not choose, you cannot stay on the middle, you cannot stay on the fence. You have to make a decision. You want to be with Hizb al-Rahman or Hizb al-Shaytan. There's nothing in between. And when these 9 men plotted their evil and no one of the society stopped them, they were included, everyone else in the society was included in the punishment. A very important lesson for us to learn. Now there is sara' bin al-haq wal-batil. Now there is a conflict between truth and evil. The conflict is happening. There's a conflict between Islam and kufr. And the ones who are leading and representing Islam are a very small minority. And then the ones who are leading kufr are a very small minority. And then the masses of the people are like the people of Thamud, doing nothing. So we need to choose and make a decision. Are we going to be with the ones who are representing Islam, or are we going to be with the ones who are representing evil, because there's nothing in between? When they were destroyed, completely destroyed, Sayyidina Salih and his followers were saved. Allah saved them. And after Thamud were destroyed, Salih came back. He came back to his town that was empty, a ghost town. And he started speaking to the dead bodies.
فتولى عنهم وقال يا قوم لقد أبلغتكم رسالة ربي ونصحت لكم ولكن لا تحبون الناصحين.
Then he, Salih, turned from them and said, O my people, I have indeed conveyed to you the message of my Lord and have given you good advice, but you like not good advisors. He was talking to these dead bodies and telling them, Oh my people, I've conveyed the message. I advised you, but you don't like the true advisors. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking to the dead bodies in Al-Qalib. After the Battle of Badr, the leaders of Quraysh were all buried in Al-Qalib. And Rasulullah ﷺ came to them and said, Ya Ahl Al-Qalib, هَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ حَقَّ فَإِنِّي وَجَدْتُ مَا وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي حَقَّ. O people of the grave, do you find the promise of Allah on you to be true? Because I find the promise of Allah to me to be true. Allah promised Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with victory and it happened. And Allah promised you with hellfire. Did it happen? Umar ibn Khattab said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, are you speaking to bodies that are already decomposed? This was a few days after they were already buried. You're talking to bodies that are already decomposed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ma antum bi asma'a lima aqulu minhum. You cannot hear me better than they. They can hear me, but they cannot reply back. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was traveling with an army and they passed by the ruins of Thamud. So some of the Sahaba went in and they took some water from the wells of Thamud and they made some bread. Actually, they mixed flour with that water to make bread. And they brought some of that water. Rasulullah ﷺ told them, don't eat from it, don't eat from that bread, and feed it to the camels, and throw all of the water that you brought. And do not go in there, illa an takunu bakin, except if you are going to cry. Do not go in there, except if you are going to cry. Today, when we go into the ruins of Thamud, or the ruins of Fir'aun, or the ruins of the Romans, of the ruins of the Greeks, we go and we smile and we take pictures. And we are fascinated with the civilization of the Romans, and the Greek civilization, and the civilization of Fir'aun, and the advancement of humanity. Rasulullah ﷺ is saying, that water that you brought from Thamud, don't even drink it. And that bread, don't feed it. Feed it to yourselves, feed it to the camels, because it's evil. And don't go in there, don't go in Thamud, except if you are going to cry. Why? You are going in and benefiting from the ibrah. Why would you cry? Because you would look at what happened to these people when they disbelieved, and you would fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you would ask Allah to save you, so you would cry. So if you're going to go in there and be impressed with their civilization, don't go in. But if you're going to go and learn the lesson, if you are going to go there and contemplate and think about what happened to the non-believers, even though they were wealthy and powerful and strong, if you're going to go there with that mentality and thinking, then go in. That is completely opposite of what the people today do. Unfortunately, some Muslims are even proud with the Fir'aunic so-called civilization. SubhanAllah, a Muslim can be proud with Fir'aun. Fir'aun, at-taghiyah. The worst evil in Quran, Fir'aun. And we would be impressed with the civilization of Fir'aun? SubhanAllah, Fir'aun is a symbol of evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a symbol of Haqq, Musa, and on the other side, the symbol of evil was Fir'aun. And the battle and the conflict between Musa and Fir'aun was the battle and the conflict between Haqq and Batil, between truth and evil. And then we go and choose the side of Fir'aun. That is how we should deal with these ruins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left them behind for a reason. These are left behind for a reason. So that we would learn the message. So that we can see a physical representation in front of us of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed the non-believers. Physical representation. So we read it in Quran and then we can see it in an actual example. Next we have Abu al-Anbiya, father of the prophets, من أولو العزم من الرسل, Ibrahim عليه السلام. Ibrahim, who was mentioned in 73 places in Quran, in 25 surahs of Quran. Ibrahim, in English, Abraham. Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was born in Babylon, Babel. And he was from Al-Kaldaniyin, the Chaldeans, to live in modern day Iraq. Iraq. That is the origin of Ibrahim, from the Chaldeans, and he lived and he was born in Babylon, Babel. Ibrahim started his da'wah to his father. He started preaching in the beginning to his father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us that story in Quran.
وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا.
When he said to his father, "Oh my father, why do you worship that which hears not, sees not, and cannot avail you in anything?"
يا أبت إني قد جاءني من العلم ما لم يأتك فاتبعني أهدك صراطا سويا.
O my father, verily, there has come to me of knowledge that which came not unto you. So follow me, I will guide you to a straight path. Now look at this. Ibrahim was very young when he did this. He was less than 16 years old. Ibrahim is directing this da'wah to a man that is not only older than him, but his father. Follow me. A young man, less than 16 years old, telling a man that is older than him and his father, follow me. Why is he telling him so? What was the justification that he has to tell his father to follow him? Ibrahim told his father the reason why. He told him, قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَمْ يَأْتِكَ, because I have knowledge that you do not have. His father had to follow him. So the leadership should be given to the people of understanding and wisdom. And that's why we find that the best leaders that ever lived were the most knowledgeable. Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dhul Qarnayn, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was a leader. And then after the Anbiya, the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, they were all scholars. The four of them were scholars. And then the best who came after these four Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Umar bin Abdul Aziz. But now when we have given the positions of leadership to the ignorant military leaders, everything ran corrupt. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر. Corruption appeared on land, and not only on land, even in the sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. Corruption appeared on land and on sea because of what the hands of the people have reaped. We have the ability not only to corrupt land, we can also corrupt the sea. Look at the fasad that we have in the Muslim world and in the world of general, because the positions of leadership are given to the unfit, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said in the hadith, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, imaratu sufaha, the leadership of the unfit, the ignorant, the foolish. So Ibrahim is telling his father, you have to follow me. And then he told him, if you follow me, fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiyya, if you follow me, I will guide you to the straight path. His father said,
قال أراغب أنت عن آلهتي يا إبراهيم لئن لم تنتهي لأرجمنك واهجرني مليا.
He, the father, said, "Do you reject my gods, O Abraham? If you stop not, I will indeed stone you. So get away from me safely before I punish you." He said, "I will stone you, I'll kill you." For a father to say this is not easy. For a father to threaten his son that he's going to kill him is not easy. But this shows you the difference between kufr and iman. This shows you how bad relations could become when the separation is iman and kufr. The father is willing to kill the son. What was the response of Ibrahim? He said,
قال سلام عليك سأستغفر لك ربي إنه كان بي حفيا وأعتزلكم وما تدعون من دون الله وأدعو ربي عسى ألا أكون بدعاء ربي شقيا.
Peace be upon you. I will ask Allah to forgive you. إنه كان بي حفيا. He is unto me ever most gracious. Ibrahim is making istighfar for someone who is an unbeliever. Is that allowed in Islam? No. Obviously, at that time, Ibrahim alayhis salam did not know that. He promised his father that he will do istighfar for him, and he did istighfar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَغَفِرْ لِأَبِي إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الضَّالِينَ. Ibrahim said, oh Allah, forgive my father because he is one of those misguided. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Ibrahim the truth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَمَا كَانَ اسْتِغْفَارُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ إِلَّا عَنْ مَوْعِدَةٍ وَعَدَهَا إِيَّاهِ فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌّ لِلَّهِ تَبَرَّأَ مِنْهِ إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَأَوَّاهٌ حَلِيمٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Ibrahim's invoking of Allah for his father's forgiveness was only because of a promise he, Ibrahim, has made to his father. But when it became clear to him that he is an enemy of Allah, he disassociated himself from him. Verily, Ibrahim was awwah and was halim. Awwah is somebody who always is in a state of khushu' and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua continuously. And halim is someone who is forbearing. So Ibrahim only made the istighfar for his father because of the promise. But when Ibrahim knew that his father is one of the non-believers and died on kufr, Ibrahim stopped. There's a hadith mentioned in Bukhari that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Ibrahim that I will fulfill my promises on you and I will not dishonor you. Because Ibrahim has made a dua, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُونَ. Oh Allah, do not dishonor me on the day of resurrection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua of Ibrahim, so he will not dishonor Ibrahim on the day of judgment. So Ibrahim said, what is a greater dishonor than punishing my father? Because the father of Ibrahim came to him, will come to him on the day of judgment. And this is mentioned in Bukhari. The father of Ibrahim will come to Ibrahim on the day of judgment and tell him, today I will not disobey you. Today I will follow you. On the day of judgment, the father of Ibrahim will come and say, on this day I will do whatever you want. When at that moment Ibrahim will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how come my father could be punished? This is a dishonor to me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Ibrahim, look at your father. So Ibrahim will look at his father and will find him in the form of dhih, dhab', hyena. Ibrahim was talking with his father and then he made dua to Allah. Allah told him, look at your father. So Ibrahim will look at his father and find him in the form of a hyena. And then Ibrahim will walk away from him. And the father will be thrown in hellfire. Ibrahim, when he was seeing his father in his physical form, it was difficult for him to have his father go to hellfire. But when the veils were lifted and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him the truth, that this man is not your father, this man does not belong to you, this man is different, and his father even came in a different physical form, at that moment, Ibrahim walked away from his father and disassociated himself from him. And then Ibrahim told his father, after he told him, I will ask Allah to forgive you, he said,
وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَأَدْعُوا رَبِّي عَسَىٰ أَلَّا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا.
And I shall turn away from you and from those whom you invoke besides Allah. وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ أَعْتَزِلُكُمْ means I will disassociate myself from you. I will separate myself from you. I will be in seclusion from you. A very important principle for your survival as a Muslim. You have to have what is called عُزْلَ شعورية, psychological separation from the environment of kufr that is around you. Ibrahim alayhi salam, immediately when his father chose kufr, Ibrahim said that I will disassociate myself from you, the society of the non-believers. وَأَعْتَزِلُكُمْ I will be separated from you. We, as Muslims, have an identity that we have to protect. And we cannot blend in with the society and be a sheep among the sheep and follow the stream and follow whatever everybody else is doing and follow the crowd. We have an identity that we need to preserve and we need to be separate and different. But that doesn't mean that we have to separate ourselves physically from the society and live on monasteries on top of mountains or in the forests or in the deserts. No, we could be part of the society and be within the society, intermingling with the society, but in our hearts we are separate. So physically we are participating in active participation with the society, but in our hearts we have this psychological barrier and separation, where we always are carrying with us the understanding that we have an identity of being a Muslim. So if you are able to be part of the society, but preserving your Muslim identity, that is better than separating yourself physically from it. Because then you can be an agent of change and affecting others and da'wah. But when you are secluded and alone, then you're only benefiting yourself and nobody is benefiting from the good that you have. Ibrahim made da'wah to his people also.
إذ قال لأبيه وقومه ما هذه التماثيل التي أنتم لها عاكفون.
He said, what are these images to which you are devoted? What are these idols? And then he also told them in other ayat, هل يسمعونكم إذ تدعون أو ينفعونكم أو يضرون? Do they hear you when you call on them, or do they benefit you or harm you? Do they respond to your dua? I mean, a God that does not respond to your dua, what God is he? And do they harm you or benefit you?
قَالُوا بَلْ وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ
They said, nay, but we found our fathers doing so. They did not disapprove what Ibrahim said. They did not say, yes, they do accept our dua, and yes, they benefit us. No, they didn't argue with that. Their response was, we're doing this because our fathers were doing it. Just like when you talk to somebody, what's your religion and why are you doing this? He said, I was born a Christian. I was born Catholic. Don't argue with me. I was born like that. This is taqleed of al-aba, following the forefathers, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, إِنَّهُمْ أَلْفَوْا أَبَاءَهُمْ ضَالِّينَ فَهُمْ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ يُهْرَعُونَ They found their fathers misguided, and they're following their tracks. Ibrahim said,
قَالَ لَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ
Indeed, you and your fathers have been in manifest error. Clear statements. He said that you are in error. This was a shock to the people. They couldn't believe this statement, so they said,
قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا بِالْحَقِّ أَمْ أَنْتَ مِنَ اللَّاعِبِينَ
Are you bringing us the truth, or are you one of those who are playing around? They thought that he's playing around. I mean, bluntly he's saying that you are wrong and your fathers are wrong and these idols cannot do you any good and they're false. They said, are you joking?
قَالَ بَلْ رَبُّكُمْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الَّذِي فَطَرَهُنَّ وَأَنَا عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ
He said, nay, your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth who created them, and of that I am one of the witnesses. And he said,
الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ
The one who created me, so he will guide me.
والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين
And the one who feeds me and provides me with drink
وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين
And if I become ill, he's the one who cures me
والذي يميتني ثم يحيين
The one who will make me die and the one who will give me life. This is the God that I worship. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim told them that I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is your Lord and the Lord of the worlds. And then Ibrahim said silently to himself, he was speaking to himself.
وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ
By Allah, I shall plot a plan to destroy your idols after you have gone away and turned your backs. He made a plan. He said, I'm going to destroy your gods. Somebody heard Ibrahim making that threat. But they didn't. Maybe they didn't take it seriously. These people, they had a day in which they would go out of the town and they would celebrate. All of them would go out in their jahiliyyah, ignorance, and they would go out in celebrations of shayateen. So they would go out of their town. All of them would go together. So they came to Ibrahim and told them, come on, let's go. قَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ He said, I am ill. He wasn't physically ill. What he meant is that I am sick of what you're doing. I am sick. He's not physically sick. He said, I am sick of what you're doing. They understood that he means that he's physically ill, so they allowed him to stay. But what he had in mind is that I am sick of this worship that you're doing. So they left him alone thinking that he's ill. And they all went out of town. Ibrahim followed through his plan. He took his axe and he went to the temple. He destroyed all of their idols except for the large big one. The humongous one, the biggest one. He left him intact. He destroyed all of the rest. And then he hanged the axe on the shoulder of this large idol. He left this axe on his shoulder. They came back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ
So he broke them to pieces, all except the biggest of them, that they might turn to it. So they came back. They looked at these idols. They said,
قَالُوا مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ
Who is the one who did this with our gods? He must be indeed one of the wrongdoers. Who's the one who did this? The one who heard Ibrahim speak. He came and said, actually it was more than one who heard Ibrahim.
قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتًا يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ
They said, we heard a young man talking against them who is called Ibrahim. Two things I want to turn your attention in this ayah. First of all, a young man, fata, young man. He was young. This is the responsibility that the youth need to realize, that major changes and da'wah that was done were done by the young. The second thing, when, for example, I'm speaking with you, and I'm telling you, Muhammad called you. It's different than if I say, a guy named Muhammad called you. What's the difference between the two? If I tell you, Muhammad called you, or I tell you, a guy named Muhammad, he called you. When I tell you, Muhammad called you, both of us know who Muhammad is. When I tell you that a guy named Muhammad called you, it's either both of us or one of us doesn't know who Muhammad is. Over here they said, we heard a young man called Ibrahim. Ibrahim wasn't even known to the society. He was a young boy. He wasn't even known to the society, and he's coming up with this change that will bring down a whole society. Carrying all of this load on his shoulders. A young boy carrying all of this load on his shoulder. Going against the whole society.
قالوا فأتوا به على أعين الناس لعلهم يشهدون
They said, then bring them before the eyes of the people that they may testify. They gathered all of the people and they wanted to bring Ibrahim and put him in court in front of everyone. So they brought everyone and they said,
قالوا أأنت فعلت هذا بآلهتنا يا إبراهيم
Are you the one who did this against our gods? He said no.
قال بل فعله كبيرهم هذا فاسألوهم إن كانوا ينطقون
No, it's not me. It's the big idol who did it. So go and ask him. That was the point of the lesson. That's the point that Ibrahim wants to drive home. Go and inquire from your gods. Let them tell you what happened. If you believe that your gods can do anything, then maybe the big one did it. If you believe that your gods cannot do anything, then why are you worshiping them? Ibrahim said, nay, this one, the biggest of them, did it. Ask them if they can speak. Ask them if they can speak. This is the whole point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ
So they turned to themselves and said, verily, you are the wrongdoers. Ibrahim woke them up. This was a shock to them. So they, for a moment, they woke up and realized their insanity and their mistake and their foolishness. So they started to think about their position. But then shaitan came in with his influence and his waswasa. So he made them override that thought and they went back to their ignorance again. They woke up for a while, but then they lost the opportunity and they said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَى رُؤُسِهِمْ Then they turned on their heads, meaning they were going in the right way, they were starting to think, but then they fell down on their heads upside down. ثُمَّ نُكِسُوا عَلَى رُؤُسِهِمْ لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ And they said, you know that they cannot speak. They said, you know that they cannot speak. Ibrahim said,
قَالَ أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ أُفٍّ لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ
Do you then worship besides Allah things that can neither profit you nor harm you? Fie upon you and upon that which you worship besides Allah. Have you then no sense? You have no understanding, no thinking. You're worshipping gods that cannot speak, cannot do you any harm, cannot even defend themselves. How can they defend you when they're not able to defend themselves? These gods are lying dead on the ground. They can't even help themselves. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammadu ala alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
For further information, please contact Al-Bashir Publications and Translations at 1-877-745-3330 or 303-574-0095. Our fax number is 303-373-0943 or visit our website at www.albashir.com. That's www.al-bashier.com. You can also write to our address at 10515 East 40th Avenue, Suite 108, Denver, Colorado, 80239-3264. All rights reserved for Al-Bashir Company for publications and translations. No part of the series may be reproduced in any form without written permission from the publisher. Unlawful reproductions may prevent Muslim businesses from further producing quality programs. Your consideration is greatly appreciated. Jazakumullahu khairan. Please proceed to the next CD.